We're continuing this month of April. The Centers for Spiritual Living worldwide theme is Spiritual Living Through Transformation and Evolution. What a great theme. And the quote is, "We do deep personal work of self-discovery and healing to reveal the greater truth of our dignity, our divinity, our wholeness, and freedom." And we really focused on this last week when we were just being transformed through the transforming power of our mind and heart, which comes from that great divine presence that's so beautifully expressed in the Easter celebration. So today is, now that we have awakened to who we really are, today's topic is, don't go back to sleep. So we want to stay awake. Stay awake. And of course, I have often, in my 40 years of ministry, suggested to people who might get a little sleepy during the morning celebration, I love that, because I have direct access to your subconscious mind. But we're thinking of a different way of not going back to sleep. You love Rumi? I love Rumi. Jalaluddin Rumi. 13th century Persian poet and mystic. The breezes at dawn have secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back across the door sill where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep. And that reminds me of Plato's allegory of the cave from the Republic, remember that one? Where there are people who have lived their entire lives in this allegory in a cave. They've never been outside. And so they believe that what they see is reality. There's a fire burning constantly, and there are shadows, and they're able to see just a little bit from a window. And yet it's all shadows. They don't know what kinds of activities and beings are really out there because they've never left the cave. One day, one fellow actually is able to walk out of the cave. And he gets outside and, oh my goodness, his eyes can't, you know, ever been to a movie theater where you get in after they turn? Yeah, it's like that, only more. And he's trying to adjust his eyes so that he can see what's going on out there. And it takes a while, and ultimately he sees that the shadows that seem to be going past the window are actually people. And they're animals, and there are trees, and there's all kinds of activity, and nature is expressing itself in beautiful ways that he never knew about before. And he sees the sun, and then he sees the moon, and the stars, and ultimately he's so excited about what he has seen about the truth that he must go back and tell all of his friends and family what the truth is. And he goes back down. Again, it's dark in there, like the movie theater. And he has to try and adjust his vision to what he sees. And they all decide that it's not a good idea to go up there because you come back blind. And they wouldn't let him tell. They didn't believe anything he said. It's a great story, isn't it? And I mean, we're talking about 5th century B.C. This story's been around a long time. And so nobody was ever allowed to leave the cave again. Boo-hoo, sad story. We don't like stories without happy endings. So we're the ones who get to write new stories. We've come out of the cave. We're going to stay out. Don't go back in the cave, except maybe long enough to help somebody else come out. Like that wonderful Agnes Sanford, who was married to an Episcopal priest, wrote a beautiful book. And it was about the healing light. And she says in there, if you go into someone else's darkness, you're not going to stay there. Go long enough just to, with your light, to lead them out to the light. That's a lot of what we do here, isn't it? And I'm so grateful that we do. So last week we claimed the transformative power of spirit to awaken us to our divinity. Our divinity. We forgot it, that's all. We had a little spiritual amnesia. We began to believe too much in the human condition And woo-wee, does human have a condition, huh? And we can't stay in the place where we're feeling fearful and hopeless or all the other things that happen when we get too involved in the human race consciousness. So we want to not lapse into mere humanness. No more shadows. So it's like that grammar school furniture that we were talking with the kids about. We don't fit there anymore. And by all means, don't try to go to the little girl's room. We don't fit in the places that used to support us. We need to find the gifts that were there and then stay awake, take the gifts, leave the wrapping. A number of years ago, I went to Vietnam with a dear friend of mine, a Vietnamese friend, who asked me year after year, "Maxine, why don't you come home with me this year?" And I never could do it. And finally I said, "Sure, let's do it." And it was amazing. It was an amazing trip. She showed me the place where she hid under the bridge when she was 19 years old, waiting for the boat to help her escape. She showed me a lot of places. We spent a lot of time with family. We did great travels all around South Vietnam. And I just remembered this last night, that we went to a beach, Ha Tien Beach, where there was a roped-off place where you could swim. And so there were little flags all around this little road, little small flags around the roped off place. They were all little communist flags. And every now and then we'd see pictures of Ho Chi Minh. And she had escaped this regime. She had spent nearly a year in a refugee camp in Malaysia and nearly died. She had been through so much as a young person. That when we were swimming, she and I, in this area, she looked at me, she said, "You think I can do this?" And I kind of knew what she had in mind, and I said, "Yes, you can." And she went up to one of these little flags, and she blew her nose on it. Empowerment! Because what she had done, she married the man that really kept her alive in the camp in Malaysia. They came first to Canada, then to the United States. He got a wonderful job as an engineer. She had a nail salon. Well, that's how I met her. And they both prospered and thrived. They had two children, and each of them graduated, one from UCLA and the other one from UC Berkeley. And they have fabulous positions now. They succeeded. She had to blow her nose on Ho Chi Minh one time. Okay, sometimes you just gotta do what you gotta do. But the wrapping was left there. The gifts were received. So we look back long enough to realize that just how far we have come and how we have become strengthened and more empowered because of the experiences that we had, because of the relationships that we formed. And where we are now is all because we remembered who we are. We remembered that we, yes, we're human, but we're so much more than that. So we take the gifts, we leave the wrapping, and we reframe. And you've heard me suggest this before, but wouldn't it be wonderful? Will it not be wonderful? Yes, it will. When we have a memory that's painful, maybe it's about a person that we felt hurt by or abandoned, or we've got some resentment or feeling that's not very positive. Are you looking forward to the day when that person can come into your consciousness and have harmless passage through your mind? Harmless passage through your mind. You remember, but you don't have a charge on it anymore. You realize that somehow you are more today than you were then because of all the mountains you have climbed and the rivers you have forged and the experiences that you have been willing to move through. Just sitting around, hiding from life, is never going to help us stay awake on our spiritual path. So we face these experiences with courage, and we face them with confidence because we remember all the times that Spirit has brought us through, right? Can you remember some times that were really, really difficult? Spirit brought you through every single time. Not about to fail you now. Never will. You know about the kingdoms of consciousness that we talk about. Kingdom one, of course, is where everything is done to me or for me. This is the infant. This is also, if you talk about the entire human race, it's about centuries ago where we had to have the follow the leader consciousness, or we wouldn't have survived the caves and the saber-toothed tigers and all. We needed a leader. We needed to follow the leader and not have too many opinions of our own. That's how we survived. And as an infant, we do that as well. We are dependent. The human animal, as they tell us, is the most dependent animal of all. It takes us 2 years. You know, even bears, I guess they take about 2 years before the mom finally sends the cub up the tree and leaves. Okay, you're on your own now. We don't do that with our two-year-olds. Thank you very much. But we're constantly in the process of emerging and discovering who we truly are. So then we move into Kingdom 2 consciousness, which is the kingdom of everything is done by me, by my own hand. And in the human experience, it's the two-year-old who's going, no! It's a very important part of our spiritual evolution. Same thing with the human race, where finally we stand up and it's like, I'm not following the leader anymore. I'm going to do my own thing. And, you know, in the 60s, how many bumper stickers did you see that said, question authority? Do you know who started that? Socrates in 5th century B.C. That's how he got in trouble, because he told the kids to question authority. Let's continue to tell them that. It's an important step we move through in this Kingdom 2 consciousness. I've got to do it. I can do it my myself. Well, you remember my eldest son said that when he was I could do it my myself. And I loved it when you came up to him at my installation and said, Jim, I can do it my myself. It's like, oh, my mother has been telling stories on me again. I do that. So this Kingdom 1 consciousness, when everything is done to us or for us, it's the no vote. We have no vote. They, whoever they are, have the power. Next, this Kingdom 2, there's I'm doing it by my own hand. This is like struggle and strife. It's ego-driven. I myself am the power. Well, we have to move through that stage too. And then we know the joy of the Kingdom 3 consciousness. This is the co-creative consciousness where everything is done through me. And self-responsibility now includes the knowledge that God is the power. God can, God in me can, I can. That's where the real power comes from our source. And ultimately, we become aware of Kingdom 4. We have little experiences of it, little insights, little flirtations with it, I think. I think all of us can recall the times that we realized that everything is done as me. There's no more separation at all. It's a complete unity of consciousness. Everything is done as me. I'm aware that I am that I am. Now that's a big leap from I can't do nothing. I am that I am. The power and the presence flows in me, through me, as me. Now that's something that's not real easy for us to accept sometimes because we're not used to feeling as though we are individualized manifestations of God's life. That's a big thing, a really big thing, especially for folks who grew up believing that God was up there and we're down here, worms of the dust, ants crawling around on the earth. In a sense, you know, Buckminster Fuller said that we're all just little infants crawling around on the earth. That's until we finally wake up to who we really are. God as me? That's a big leap. Do you ever have little touches of it? Little remembrances of who we really are? That's a start. That's a wonderful place to begin. It's no more thee and me, but I am that. And so we progress. And by the way, as Marcia Sutton and Lloyd Strom explained, and these are the ones who really verbalize this concept of the kingdoms, they say we just move through these kingdoms like a blob. And a good way to find out where we may be at any moment, any given moment during the day, is to ask ourselves, what kingdom am I in right now? Am I feeling at the effect of someone else? Oh, kingdom one. Am I feeling as though, never mind, I can do that myself? Kingdom two. Are we really experiencing the joy of working together as we do here in our care groups and in our teams, so that we are co-creating with the presence and the power of God and with one another, awakening and staying awake to who we are? Do we even have an occasional sense of, there's nothing to do, there's nothing to be, there's nothing to know, it's simply, I am that I am. We get there in meditation sometimes. We're very big on meditation around here. And those of you who may not be aware of it, we have a 10 o'clock meditation in our meditation and prayer room every Sunday morning. And we have a noon meditation every Wednesday at noon. And who knows, maybe we're going to increase those offerings, because meditation is a wonderful thing to do, especially when things look kind of crazy in the world. And if they ever get to the point that they look kind of crazy in the world, do you think that ever might happen? Oh, it did? Okay. More and more, and all the more, is it essential that we remember our true nature. And the true nature of every sentient being. Let's continue to stay awake. Let's not go back to sleep. Oh, a little nap every now and then is just fine. But let's not get into the false belief that I'm only human. Yes, you're human, happily human, and splendidly spiritual. Say, I am happily human.
I am happily human.
And I am splendidly spiritual.
I am splendidly spiritual.
Very good. The world is not our boss. It never employed us. We don't work for the world. We work in behalf of illuminating our world and raising the consciousness everywhere. But it's not our boss. Let's not let a boss us around anymore. It does not dictate our reactions. We have reactions. Becoming aware of them is the first thing to do. Thank God we're all doing our inner work, and we support each other as we're doing it. The world cannot suppress our creativity. We have it. We are co-created beings. We are individualized expressions of the life of God. And the creative process works through us constantly, creating, producing. We gain a mental equivalent, a spiritual prototype. We give thanks for that. We get passionate about it. And then we turn it over to the law of mind, which knows exactly how to bring it into our lives for us. We do it on an individual basis. We do it together as a spiritual community. And we're making a difference. Do you know that just sitting here right now, elevating our consciousness, reminding ourselves of the truth, we're already making a positive impact out there. And that's the thing, you see. We can either be influenced by what's going on in the world, or we can choose to be the influence on what's happening in the world. Which would you choose? I know what I choose, and I continue to choose it day after day. And you and I are working together. We're walking along this evolutionary path together, and we're helping each other stay awake. And as Rumi also says, keep walking. Keep walking. That's what we're doing. And we are sustaining each other in that awareness by remembering that we are all being sustained in the love of God that nurtures us and the wisdom of God that shows us every step of the way, every step of the way to unfold. The voice of truth has become clearer. We're hearing the bell of truth ringing within our own hearts and minds and consciousness. And millions of other people are hearing this clarion call as well. And we're rising up to it. And we're deciding that it makes sense to jump out of bed every morning as Charles Fillmore did at 94. And if you remember this, say it with me. I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm as I spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that can only be done by me. Tomorrow morning, promise? This voice of truth within us all knows where the power lies. It does not lie out there. It's not with any person. It's not with any group of people. It's within ourselves. We stay awake to our insight and to our vision. We are creating, co-creating a beautiful vision. Carl Jung said, your vision will become clear only when you can look into your own heart, who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakes. We're looking inside, we're awakening, and we're staying awake, and we're encouraging each other to stay awake as well. Some weeks ago, I asked you, what is God's highest vision for the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living? And I'm going to share mine with you again. You know why? Because I'm up here and I can. A sacred space of safety and welcome for all. A path to deep connection with the divine. A special home in which people feel connected to God and to each other. A haven of healing where truth replaces temporary conditions. Wholeness in mind, heart, body, and body of affairs. A teaching center to awaken every student of science of mind to the power for good available for our use. A place of empowerment where we encourage one another to live these principles in clarity, consciously applying them to our personal lives. A circle of encouragement and uplift, expanding into the larger community and beyond, where we awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence. A nurturing womb of love and wisdom for our children and teens, an expanding family and youth department where our young people learn the love of God and the wisdom and creativity within them. A harmonious house of music, which is a synonym for God, touching and inspiring our community and the greater community, lifting hearts and bringing people together. A house band, guest musicians, concerts, fill in the blank. And finally, a light in this world, growing brighter with each person who commits to this vision and bringing the world into alignment with its original goodness. Will you say with me, I give thanks for the voice of truth within me.
I give thanks for the voice of truth within me.
It keeps me witness to my new expanded awareness. It keeps me witness to my new expanded awareness of the source of my aliveness. And so, my beloveds, beginneth your lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas, and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website
at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the Donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit, and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.